NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yeah!
Crushed it!"
But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it's still the case that at any sort of sporting event, the majority of fans who turn up are male. And there's also a sneaking sense that the women there are there for some other reason, because their boyfriend brought them, or they like looking at muscular legs. Not only that, women are often required to explain themselves to prove that they are real fans. The journalist Saoirse Hanley has had this experience. Afternoon, Saoirse.
Hello.
Let's talk about your experience.
Yeah.
You're mad into F1.
Yes.
Which is looking at cars driving round and round and round for no apparent reason, as far as I can tell.
And I don't know how to make it more compelling to someone who doesn't watch it, because that is literally what happens. And I had a friend of mine try and ask me this before, and every question I answered seemed to make it worse. But it is just 20 cars driving around in very fast circles every week or every couple of weeks. I had an experience a couple of years ago where myself and a group of us, all girls, went to a Grand Prix in Spain. And we were really excited about it. It cost a lot of money. We kind of, you know, had to pay it off a little while. And the week that I was going, I was telling a colleague that I was a bit worried about, like, the commentary. I don't speak Spanish. So I was a bit worried that, like, we won't be able to hear, you know, what happens. And the tracks are big. Like, I can't see what's happening on the other side. And also, they're driving very fast. And when you watch along on, you know, on just at home on the telly or in the pub or whatever, you can see what's going on because they have bird's eye view and they do drive on cameras and they tell you what's happening for bits that you know your eye can't catch. And that's what I meant, in that I don't speak Spanish. I won't be able to hear what they're telling me. But another person at the desk swiveled around in his chair and instantly was like, "Oh, did you just say you're not going to understand what's going on at the Grand Prix and you're going?" And I was like, well, it's more that I'm not going to understand who I'm seeing as I see them, because again, 300 kilometres an hour is rather fast. Mm. And I can't, you know, I can't track the car that easy. I can't see the number, and it'll be a little bit difficult to see the livery or see what car it is. So that's more so what I meant. But it was just instantly I was aware that it was a question he would never have asked a male fan if they were telling him that they were going somewhere or going to this sporting event. And it's that real pervasive thing of, like, look, call a spade a spade. Most of the Formula One drivers are gorgeous. They're stunning. They are, I don't know what it is. You have to be really strong, have a really strong neck, but also be drop dead gorgeous to get into a car. I don't know what it is. But I think a lot of the argument sometimes is that women got really into F1 because of that. You know, it's a real glitzy sport. It's quite glamorous. Lots of celebs turn up at the tracks all the time. And you have, at its core, people driving cars that are lovely to look at. But I don't think anybody, any female fan, is sitting down for hours at a time or paying lots of money to go see it live. And purely because they're like, oh, I might see a bit of eye candy behind the wheel. It's just because we like watching the sport just as much as the men do. We just have the added bonus of they're all gorgeous to look at.
Mm. Okay, well, leaving the old gorgeous thing aside, explain why have you got hooked on it? What is it about it?
I don't actually know what it is. Sometimes I think maybe, and I was talking to a friend about this recently, because she said it's not as interesting to watch these days because there's not as much risk. Now, I'm not of that school of thought, because I think anytime there's any kind of accident, it's so heart-wrenching and scary. But I think it's that it's this very high-octane sport. As I say, they're driving incredibly fast. There's a lot of kind of internal politics and strategy involved, a lot more than I would have thought. You think it's 20 cars driving around, but the way that the teams operate, the amount of times they go into the pit lane, the amount of times that they, you know, you'll have two drivers in the same team and one of them will have to move over to let the other go past them. And there's a lot of kind of internal politics that happen. I mean, just in the last 2 weeks, Red Bull, one of the big, you know, the biggest teams, one of the biggest players, had a huge controversy where they're kind of very hard to fill second seat because it's a huge turnover of their second seat. The driver that's been there for 2 weeks has been bumped. He's been replaced. And it's that kind of I guess there's a, like a weird political intrigue to it that makes it really compelling. And it's something that just kind of kept me going. A lot of people got into it because they watched Drive to Survive, the Netflix show that follows the drivers. Yeah. I actually had never seen it when I started watching the sport. It was just that someone I was living with, a very good friend of mine, Katie, was watching it and my phone died and I couldn't distract myself on TikTok or watching something else. So I just started watching it with her and now we would watch it regularly. And I don't, I actually, unless you've like drank the Kool-Aid, I don't know how I can...
Right. Okay. But isn't that just who's got the fastest car wins? And then everybody knows that, you know, Tony has the fastest car. He's won the last four races. So why did the rest of them turn up?
You'd think. And it's why there was a time about 2 years ago that I found it a little bit harder to watch because the kind of world leader, Max Verstappen, he was winning every single week. And that got boring very fast because you had to start getting rid of the first driver in your mind and just like watching where the other 19 wound up. But in the last year and this year so far, there's a lot more to play for. There's a lot more up and comers. There's a lot of rookies. There's a lot of first timers. And it is who has the best car ultimately. And the way they've tried to roll that back is that there's more kind of, there's a fairer budget system. There's a lot of rules that the drivers and their cars and their engineers have to live up to. So the cars have to be a certain weight or can't have certain modifications or whatever it is. And there's a way to try and stabilize it. Because unfortunately, the way it works is the richer teams or the cars that have better sponsors or better backing, they are usually at the top of the leaderboard because they have better cars and they can afford really good drivers to fill them. And you have some drivers that you know will be really, really good if they got behind the wheel of a really good car. And you just kind of hope that one day they will. But I think it is just, you'd think it would look the exact same every week. For a little while it was, but it's starting to get a lot more dynamic again and it's a lot more fun to watch.
Okay, so if you're in the pub having a pint and you're talking with the enthusiasm you just showed there about F1, are you getting looks from men or do you get the kind of, almost kind of quizzing you to make sure you know what you're talking about? Or you just haven't learned off that spiel kind of thing?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think it's because it's hard to tell because I have the great security blanket of my boyfriend's often there with me and he watches it. So sometimes we'll be there together or we'll be in a group of friends that include men and women and we're kind of, it's a given. But I've actually found, at least certainly in those, certainly in the pubs that show it, like the Backpage in Dublin, they do a great kind of system every year and the Woolshed are similar and they're very much like a community, they kind of grow, that the same people will go very often. So you wouldn't get that too much from there. It's more so, I think, a very pervasive opinion online that there's a lot of women who got into motorsport because they watched Drive to Survive and that was it. You know, they had no other interest. They don't watch the races. They're not really part of it. Certainly in my experience of like one-on-one with people or in the pub, it's people are very focused on what's happening, to be honest. And there's no real sense that you're missing out. I also think there's always plenty of women there, which is great. I don't think people realise that. There's a huge female, you know, following of it. And certainly in any rooms that I've been in or indeed at that Grand Prix, I kind of thought there would, it's not the most, you know, normal girls trip location. And I thought that we'd be few and far between, but there was loads of us there. It was great. It was really nice. It was a lovely atmosphere. And you didn't feel that sense of, you know, you had to prove that you were good enough to be there, that you had a good reason to be. I think it's more that there's just, like with many, many sports, there's just this idea that women aren't really enjoying it or they're not there for the fun of it.
Well, sports are kind of gendered though, aren't they?
Mm.
We will have like, you know, men's rugby and women's rugby. And I suppose, when, you know, it's only accuracy to point out the difference. But even like somebody was saying to me, this to me the other day, even in national school, if it's a mixed class and they go out at break time to play, the boys take over most of the playground so they can play football. And the girls are kind of put on the periphery of that to do whatever they're doing.
That's actually,
and so there's almost it's kind of they're flexing already from the age of six.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I was trying to think back to when I was at school, and I don't remember having ever played football in school, but it was all the lads ever did, you know?
Yeah.
And there definitely is, I think, and that's why, like, I think particularly with a sport like that, like a motorsport that kind of does have a more kind of masculine energy to it. But even like rugby and stuff, like that's, you know, but there was no, well, my school didn't have a rugby team anyway, but we had a really successful basketball team in my school and it was the girls' basketball team that won everything. And they still, I think that's still quite a strong part of that school. But that was quite rare to have the girls' basketball team be the sport that everybody got behind. Just even from like a following perspective, you know, we see it all the time with stuff like women's football and women's rugby, that there's a drop off in attention and a drop off in, you know, the kind of following of it. And I remember thinking that even when I was at school, God, like 10, 12 years ago, that it was quite impressive that the big standout sporting achievers in my school, and it was a mixed school, were the women's basketball team. I mean, I still had no interest in basketball, but fair use to them. I wasn't watching, but I was happy for them.
Also as well, say our women's national rugby team and soccer team almost have to do better than their male equivalents to kind of generate a bit of heat around them.
Yeah, that is it. They have to be reaching the highest echelons that they can reach to get the same following that like a bog standard regular club might get the rest of the time, you know? And it is really unfortunate. I do think it's changing. I think there's a lot more respect for women's sport recently. I mean, like a big one is, like you were saying about the, you know, the Six Nations. When it was on, and I remember asking someone when it first started, I was like, what's the M for? What's the M Six Nations? What's that about? And they were like, oh, that's to signify it's the men's Six Nations, because the women's will just be, you know, is still the Six Nations. It's not the Six Nations and other. Hmm. And that really stuck out to me, that I was like, yeah, hang on. It is the very same contest. It's just the gender of the players is different. And that, I think, maybe signifies that those things are changing a bit, that Ireland is very good, I think, for supporting women's sport and for championing it, which I think makes us kind of not the most, you know, I don't think that's happening everywhere, but it's something I think we can stand behind a little bit at least.
One listener has taken exception to something you said. All the drivers are drop dead gorgeous. Has your guest never seen Nigel Mansell?
I haven't.
No, I think he's a bit before your time.
I'm a fake fan over here.
No, I mean, he's like 900 years old, I think, at this stage. So
I'm sure he was in his own way.
Was there a moustache there? I can't really remember. Yeah, I think there was a moustache there. It would have been, nobody was good looking back then. This would have been the, you know, 70s. Everyone was genetically programmed to be ugly. Saoirse, thanks a million for coming into us. Have you a prediction to make so people can argue with you?
I think McLaren are going to win the Constructors' Championship, and I think it might be Lando Norris who takes home the title if Max Verstappen doesn't speed up a little bit.
Okay, the Constructors' Championship.
Yeah, so there's the driver that you've
been
winning.
Have they come from another planet and they're all robots?
Yeah, basically. You've got the 20 winners, the 20 drivers, and someone will be the winner of that leaderboard. But separately, you have the teams. So like McLaren or Ferrari or Red Bull, one of their teams will win. And they get it all depends how much funding you get next year and how well you do the following year, and it all leads on. But it means that you could have a Ferrari driver, say, win the championship, I wish, and then have McLaren win the Constructors. So it's just a separate winning.
And do you have like a team that you support? Is it like football?
I really like Ferrari. Okay. And I also was separately a Hamilton fan. So when Hamilton joined Ferrari this year, I was very happy. I'm sad for the driver that we lost.
And how many drivers would they have in a team?
Two.
Oh, just two.
Mm-hmm. And then reserve drivers will kind of fill in.
Okay.
Which is why it's a huge deal for Red Bull to already have dropped one of theirs, because it's been literally 2 weeks.
And is the number two driver not allowed win? They have to let the number one driver win.
They sometimes have to kind of yield to the number one driver. Most teams will have the one, like Max Verstappen can probably do whatever he wants, and the second driver will have to just allow that to happen. You know, that seems to be the kind of pervasive way that it goes. And it is unfortunate, because you sometimes have a case where, you know, certainly in Ferrari last year, you had a driver that I think was slightly stronger or more consistent, but he'd often kind of be the afterthought, because you have your number one driver and they're your big billing. So it's interesting, especially when you've got this year, like I say, Hamilton's a huge deal. So it's interesting to see him balance it out.
Saoirse, thanks a million for coming in to us today. Bit of sport on the show. Who knew? Especially that sport, of which I know absolutely nothing. That was Saoirse Hanley there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Let's say your small business has a problem. Like maybe one of your doggy daycare customers had an accident. You might say something like,
doggone it!
Hi, Chihuahua!
Holy schnauzers!
But if you need someone who can actually help, just say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And get help filing a claim from your local State Farm agent. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.